Oh, sweet Alabama. I was married. I got married in Saraland, Alabama. And so you folks know exactly where Saraland is. Amen. And it was kind of different. I had my brother, he was on stage. He was one of the groomsmen. And so towards the end of the ceremony there, the pastor had my wife and I, had a kneeling rail and having a prayer over us. And all of a sudden, you heard a thump on the platform. Looked over there, my brother, he was just laid flat out on his back. He'd passed out. And he wasn't getting married. Why did he pass out? But anyway, he sure did. And you could hear people in the auditorium, they're just giggling and trying not to laugh, trying to hold it back. And I don't blame them. All right, I was trying to maybe just share a little bit of my history with you. My mother, actually my father married my mother during World War II in Naples, Italy. So my mom was Italian, she's a war bride, and it was kind of interesting when they got married. Dad could not speak hardly any Italian at all. They both spoke a little bit of French, and my mother, actually, she was one test away from having a doctorate degree in Latin. Instead of taking the last final test, she came to America instead. And so anyway, it makes my life quite a bit different. So in Miami, they don't have a Southern accent, but again, I married my wife, and she had a Southern accent. And my mother got an Italian accent. And so there in Miami, you had a lot of the northern Jews came down, so we had an odd accent. And so, you know, I don't know what language I speak. That's what I'm trying to say. It's my own language. It surely is. And if you turn your Bibles with me tonight, please. Book of Psalms, chapter number 40. Psalms, please, chapter number 40. God's library. Now, that may not sound too exciting. God's library. You know, I was never the library person. I didn't like to hang around the library. I would rather do something physical. I'd rather get my hands dirty. I'd rather work on something. I'd rather be building something or working on a car or digging a hole or something of this nature. But however, a library. God's got a library. And there's several books in his library. There's a book here that's, we'll just get to them, okay? In Psalms chapter number 40, all the way down in verse number 7, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. This is Jesus speaking. It's David speaking right here. But it's a messianic psalm referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, in the book of Hebrews chapter number 10, it goes back, Hebrews 10 does, and it refers to the Lord speaking this. And so it's the Lord that's looking there and said, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. Listen, the Bible is all about Jesus. It is written of me, Jesus said. And you take Jesus out of the Bible, it's an empty book. You take Jesus out of the Bible, and there's nothing worth having to hang your hat on. But you put Jesus in there, and it's everything. It's all about the Lord. And so he said in the volume of the book. And so the book, Jesus calls his word, this book, the Bible, the book. Why would it be called the book? May I present to you several reasons why? If you turn your Bibles quickly to the book of Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews the 4th chapter. And we would read then in verse number 12 as soon as I get there. I'm one page off. Here we are. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so, why would this be called the book? Because it's alive. The Word of God is quick. The word quick has the idea or has the meaning of being alive. And, you know, if you're quick, you got to move quick. And being alive. I'm not too fast on my feet. I don't run very fast, but I finally get there. Now, I've got a grandson, 16 years old. This kid, he reminds me of my father. He is nimble on his feet. He is quick. And he's playing soccer and stuff like this, and he plays for a travel team in Pittsburgh, of all places. And so they travel around and things of this nature. And he set a record for a 20-yard dash the other day for the whole team. That's for the last, 10 years that team's been in existence. That boy's quick. He gets on that soccer field, and people call him the Gnat because he just goes everywhere around this thing. The Word of God, it's quick. It's fast. It's moving. It's alive. Not only is it quick in moving, but it's alive. And God goes on there and talking about this book. He said it's alive, and it divides asunder of the soul and spirit. Now, both of these are soul and spirit. You can't see either one of them, but it can divide the two of them apart there. And when I think about the soul and spirit, I remember when God made man, and he made the body out of the dust of the earth, and then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You know what we are? We are a soul. Not only are we only a soul, but we are a living soul. And God gave me a body. With this body, I have my earth existence. And then at that time, he also gave us a spirit. God is a spirit. He gave me a spirit. And so with my spirit, now I have a spiritual connection. But of course, man sinned. Adam and Eve sinned. And the soul didn't die. Because it's alive, and it never dies. But the spirit died, and so we died away from God. We became separated from God. We are, the Bible talks in the New Testament, Ephesians, that we are dead, spiritually dead, dead to God. But the Bible, it is alive. It will even divide asunder the soul and spirit, and the thoughts and intents of the heart. Listen, God, the Bible understands how we think. And also the joints and the marrow. And so it separates all of these things. The Bible is called the book because, number one, it is alive. Secondly, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, please. 2 Timothy, the third chapter, we find it's the book. Not only is it alive, but it is inspired. In verse 16, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, all scripture. That word scripture, that's an interesting word. It means words of God. That's the word scripture. That's the meaning of it. And all scripture, all the words of God, is given by inspiration of God. That word inspiration means breath. The very breath and breathing of God. When God, I referred to, when he breathed into man's nostrils a breath of life, man became a living soul. That is a never dying soul. Why? It's the breath of God. Would you understand? And the breath of God never dies. And this book, it is the very breath of God. It's alive. It never dies. It's inspired. It's the very breath of God. And it's profitable for reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Listen, anything that you need to do for the Lord, anything that's good to do, it's here. The Bible will equip you to do this. And if it's not here, then it's wrong. You're in the wrong spot then. And so the Bible is called the book because this book is alive, because it's inspired by God. And not only is it inspired, this book is holy. Now, I had a hard time some years ago trying to get this, get it across to me. And I'll explain it to you in a moment. But I go back in verse 15 and 16, or verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise in the salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. When I was taught, and even in some of my Bible college classes, I was taught, you know, the Bible's inspired, yes, but to find the true and perfect and holy Word of God, you got to go back to the originals, I was taught. It's only the originals that were inspired. And so I thought that. I believe that. And then they said, well, because we have 40 different authors that have penned these words, and they said, now the Bible is, you know, it's pretty close. It's pretty, pretty sure. But yet, nobody's got the originals around. And so, wait a minute, I got a problem. If nobody has the original scriptures, the original autographs that were first written by man, and that was inspired by God as holy men of God, they spake the word of God, they wrote the word of God, as holy men of God, they were moved by the Holy Spirit to do this, then how would they know whether it's right or wrong? Because they didn't have the originals. I was just, you know, it's just the originals that were inspired. But then, you know, I was a very young preacher. I just started preaching, and I was preaching from this text one day in verse 15, that from a child, Paul tells Timothy, thou hast known the holy scriptures. Now I thought, whoa, wait a minute. Holy scriptures? He didn't have any originals, but he had holy scriptures. Wow. How could that be? If the only way that could be is that God preserves his word. And so we've got the book. The book is alive. The book is inspired. This book is holy. Not only is it holy, go with me, book of Psalms, chapter number 12. Psalms, chapter number 12. And then I would read in verses 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And so here we find out that the Word of God, it's holy, it's pure. It's not only pure, and it's preserved. It's preserved in heaven at this, and it's preserved forever. And so, wow, I've got in my hand holy scriptures, holy words, pure words, been purified as in the furnace seven times. And so I hold this in my hand. This is the book. It's the book of all books. It's alive, it's inspired, it's holy, and it's incorruptible. Well, excuse me, it's pure and preserved. Let me go back to incorruptible. In 1 Peter chapter 1, I like this portion for sure. 1 Peter chapter number 1. In this chapter right here, we get toward the end of it here, and Peter writes about being born again in verse number 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Amen? Hey, listen, my salvation is from an incorruptible book. Because it's holy, because it's alive, because it's the Word of God. And it's incorruptible. There's no corruption about this whatsoever. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time with corruption. And I find out that the older I get, the more corruptible my body is. I find the more, the slower it gets, the more pains it gets. And you can't see, you can't hear, you can't feel, you can't touch, you can't taste anymore. And, I can still taste. You know what I taste? The Visman's took me out for lunch today. What did we have? Spaghetti. What do you expect for a boy that's half Italian to eat? Amen. It was always good coming home because Mama would have spaghetti fixed for us. It was good. And not only that, living in Miami, can I just chase a rabbit? I promised to catch it. And let me just chase this one rabbit. Being raised in Miami, and there, after the age of 10, in an independent fundamental Baptist church, all right, Back in those days, in the 60s, late 50s and 60s, when missionaries would go to a foreign field, they'd always fly out of Miami International Airport. And so we always had missionaries in our house. And they're going to a foreign field somewhere. I can't tell you how many missionaries slept in my bed. And it was good to have missionaries come by. You know why? Because we would have spaghetti. Mama would cook them spaghetti, and we sent them off to the mission field in style. We sure did. And of course, my mother, she'd wash their clothes and get everything ready and everything else like this. And so, wow. You know what that had to do something? I don't remember how I got there. But anyway, I did chase that rabbit. Now that I told you about it, we'll come back here. This incorruptible, corruption. Yeah, that's back to that taste. I can still taste spaghetti. You know, I'm alive and well and doing good. And so incorruptible, though. This word of God is incorruptible. Get this then. Wait a minute. If I'm born again by this word, by the incorruptible word, my salvation is as good and pure and everlasting as this book is. Wow. My salvation is glorious. My salvation is eternal. My salvation is pure. My salvation is holy. My salvation is from the very breath of God. Wow. Isn't that marvelous? I don't have to worry about my salvation. This book is preserved in heaven. Every word of it is. My salvation is preserved in heaven. Listen, heaven's waiting for me. Just before Jesus left this earth, before he goes to Calvary in John 14, he said to the disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. Neither be afraid. Neither let it be afraid." How did I forget the first word? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. There, okay. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Jesus said that where I am, there ye may be also. He's preparing a mansion for me in heaven. Amen. Hey, listen, heaven's waiting on me. My name's already there. My name's on a mansion, and I'll tell you what, my name's also written down in a book, and we'll get to that book in a few minutes here. And this book, it's the book. It's alive. It's the book. It's inspired. It's the book. It's holy. It's the book. It's incorruptible. It's the book. It's pure and inspired. And it's forever in Psalms chapter 119. It is settled in heaven. Let me show you just one thing. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 for a moment. And we're not going to get into it any further than this tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. When I look and I realize I've got the book that's alive, inspired, holy, pure, incorruptible, and preserved in heaven, I've got it in the King James Bible. Here Paul, we read, told Timothy, "Thou hast the Holy Scriptures." He didn't have the original autographs. Everything he was translated. You know what helped me out? I have a King James Version. My problem is I did not understand what this thing about version is. I always thought a version, that's your story. That's how you see it. That's how somebody else sees it, a version. But all of a sudden, one day, because I like studying my Bible, and the very first way I study it is by definition. I need to know what the words mean. And I found out the easiest way to do it, I've got a Bible that's written in English. My problem is just understanding English. I never did like English until I got to the 12th grade. It was almost too late then. And however, it's written in English. So I take it. I take Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, and nearly every word that he describes, he will give a verse of scripture for it out of the King James Bible. And so anyway, one day I looked up this word version. What's a version? And the word version means, quote unquote, translation. This King James Version was translated. Amen? And the translation that we have, what Paul would talk to Timothy about having holy scriptures, he was talking about the old scripture, the Old Testament scriptures. And the King James Version comes from that same translation of that Old Testament that the Bible called it holy scriptures. Wow. Listen with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let me ask you this question. Are you saved? Amen. Are you eternally saved? Amen. You have eternal life? Amen. Or are you just in the process of being saved? No, we're not in the process of being saved. We are saved. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which, what's the next word? No, which are saved. Unto us which are saved. It is the power of God. That's the King James Version. Just about all the other versions or translations translated from other, from other books, they don't say are saved. They will say which are, they usually add the word being, which are being saved. Hey, listen, I'm glad my Bible teaches me that I have eternal life, that I'm not being saved, I am saved. Amen? Or some would say, in the process of being saved. Brother, there's no process. I've been born again. Amen? I'm not in the process of seeing a little child being born and saying, well, it's in the process of becoming a child. No. It is a child. Amen? It surely is. Well, God's library, we begin with the book. Look with me in the book of Malachi, chapter number 3. Oh, my mama, this was her, my mama being Italian, this was her favorite book in the Bible. With her Italian tongue, she would call it Malucci. So that's the Italian prophet in the Bible, just in case, if you wanted to know something there about this. So it's Malachi, okay. And without the accent. Malachi chapter number 3 and verse number 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. Oh, let me stop there for a moment. If you know the Lord, and if you fear the Lord, if you adore the Lord, if you respect the Lord, if you love Him, you just can't help but talk to other people about the Lord and about the things of the Lord. And scripture to scripture and things of this nature. He said, they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Wow, God has here not only the book, but in heaven now there is the book of remembrance. And God says, listen, these wonderful things that you have spoken about the Bible, that you've asked these different questions, that you've thought about these things, that you've studied these things out, and that you've compared Scripture with Scripture, and how you got to understand it. He said, and spoke to others about these things, and came to a deeper knowledge and a better understanding this. He said, listen, I've got it all written down. And how that you've come to these conclusions and these understandings here. I've got a book of remembrance. And how that you respect the Lord. Listen, how can you understand the Bible, which we just read about Jesus, it's all about Him. How can you understand the Bible? How can you interpret the Bible? How can you figure it out without knowing Jesus? You got to know Jesus before you can understand this book. Amen? And He is the foundation of it. And so, Lord said, I've got a book of remembrance and about them that feared Him. I'm kind of wondering, though, I don't know, but if it's a book of remembrance, are there other things that is He remembering in there? And I'll tell you what, He remembers the things that we do, not only the things that we say about Him, but the things that we do. And the things that and everything that somebody does, and even the things that people do wrong. We'll read about that after a while here also. And so here's a book of remembrance. In Psalms chapter number 69, let's go to another book. Psalms chapter number 69 and verse number 28. The scripture says, let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. Well, they're talking about some wicked people right here. Said, man, they don't need to be written with the righteous. Thank God there's a place and there's a book that we'll get to. I'll just tell you right now, it's called the book of life. That's where the righteous are living. And not only is it called the book of life, but it's called the Lamb's book of life. That's where the righteous are written. But he said, listen, let them be blotted out of the book of the living. You know what happens when you're taken out of the book of the living? You're dead. It's kind of easy. That's not too hard to grasp. The book of the right now, everyone here tonight is in the book of the living. Some of you are not moving too much, and I hope you haven't died on me. And if you did, you just got taken out of the book of the living. And so, however, here's the book of the living. And when you're blotted out of the book of the living, it's over. You're not living any longer. And with this book of the living, let me move on also. Go back to Exodus chapter number 32 with Moses. Exodus chapter number 32. The children of Israel, man, they have sinned. They've made gods, have made molten statues and everything else. And while Moses is up there on the mountain, and Moses comes down, and I like Moses. Now Moses really messed. He's messed my life up. He really has, and because he likes his people. He has a respect for his. Not only does he have a respect for his people, he associates himself with his people. Now, sitting back there is old Sam Hartley. Sam, can I talk about you? Thank you. I didn't give him a chance to say no. I was his pastor for some years. Okay, and and sometimes we didn't see things eye to eye. But you know what? We may not have seen things eye to eye, but when old Sam, he's in the hospital and bleeding to death, you know who's right there at his side? His pastor was. You know who's right there praying for him? This man right here was. And I didn't look there and say, well, we don't see something eye to eye, and so, I don't care about you. No, I care about you. I'm your pastor. Amen. And Moses was this kind of a pastor. He was this kind of a shepherd. He cared about his people. He associated himself with his people. When they would do something wrong, listen, he would ask God to forgive them. He would associate himself even with the wrong that they did. Listen here in Exodus chapter 32 and verse 32. And the Lord said unto Moses, verse 32, I'm reading the wrong one. Verse 32, yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin. This is kind of interesting. How many times did you see a word, a dash after a word? This is very rare. If thou wilt forgive their sin. To me, Moses just kind of stopped and he hesitates now. Well, God, are you not? Moses says he is interceding for his people and he's pleading with God for to them to forgive their sin. And as a matter of fact, not only does he plead for their case, but he puts himself with them and he goes on to say, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. He said, listen, if you won't forgive them, I'm standing with these people. Go ahead and blot me out of that book of the living, in other words. Take my life. If you're going to kill them, kill me with them. Whoa. Wow. Then I realized what a pastor should be. A pastor loves his people. A pastor, he associates with his people. A pastor, he brings his people before God. He confesses their sins before God. He asks God to forgive their sins. He says, God, if you punish them, then punish me with them. Take me out of the book. If you're going to kill them, take me with you, with them. These are my people. Folks, that's a shepherd. That's a shepherd. You know what? I'm afraid too many shepherds. No, I should say preachers. They have a reputation of not staying in the church more than 4 or 5 years. You know what the problem is? They're not the shepherd. They don't care about the people. They're just somebody else. They're just people that attend. They're not somebody that he prays for and he weeps over them and he cares about them. And he's always there knocking on the doors for them, knocking on their doors and coming to visit them. And, listen, Moses, help me out. I want to be a pastor like Moses. That's what I want to be. I want to be a pastor that cares for his people. And what I know about Brother Vaughn, Pastor Vaughn, he's that kind of a pastor. He's that kind of a man. And you're blessed. And so, the Book of the Living. God, when you're alive, you're in it. But when you're taken out of it, you're not living any longer than that. Go back with me also, Psalms 139. Psalms 139. This kind of makes you want to read, doesn't it? All these wonderful books. Because they're very important to us. I'm not sure exactly where it's written at or which book it's in. But I do know one thing, that everything about me, when I was formed, when I was made in conception, God has it recorded somewhere, somehow. Look with me in verse 14. David said, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. And that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. That's in the womb. And curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. That truly is the womb. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. Not completed. Still in the process of growing. And in thy book all my members were written. God's got a book that all our members are written. All my, we would say today, our DNA is recorded there. It's all written there. And, let me just throw in a story, okay? Woman goes to the doctor, and she said, I've got a problem with my husband. And the doctor said, well, what's the problem? She says, he has a glass eye. He said, well, a lot of people have glass eyes. And she said, he said, what's your problem? She said, well, it's my husband. She said, he's got a wooden leg. She said, well, there's a lot of people that have a wooden leg. But what's your problem? She said, it's my husband. And he said, well, what about your husband? She said, he has an artificial hand. And he said, well, that's terrible. That's, you know, that's not that common, but that's terrible. He said, now, what's your problem? She said, my problem is when I go to bed at night and he takes all these things and puts them in the drawer, his nose, or his nose, his eye, his eye, his foot, and his hand and all this. She said, I don't know whether to get in bed with him or get in the drawer with him. So anyway, but here, what are you trying to say? God said, I know where every part is. It might have been cut off. It may have been lost in an accident. It may have been lost in the war. It might be overseas somewhere and you're over here. Listen, God knows every atom. And when it's time for a resurrection, he'll have no problem putting all those things back together again. No problem whatsoever. He made them. Amen? Who else could resurrect this way? No one else could. God said they're all written. And by the way, as soon as I was formed and unperfect, you know what happens? You know what happens when I come out of the womb? I'm just growing. And I continue to grow and I continue to form and I continue to, and I'm still forming in places I wish I wasn't. However, do they not tell me that the ears always continue to grow? Is that true? You didn't hear that? Okay. Well, maybe yours got an ear problem. I don't know. But however, here's the point I'm trying to make. If I was formed in the lowest parts of the earth and in conception then, you know, when I was made a male, I've always been a male. No matter how much you want to try to change parts and have an operation. If I was made a female, then you've always been a female. And that's how you are. As a matter of fact, you try to change all this stuff, you're perverting God. We are made in the image and likeness of God. In His image and likeness, He made two. He made male and female. And we're trying to pervert God. That's what's happening there. And so anyway, he said, they're written in His book. God's got it written down there. In the book of Psalms still, back up to chapter 56 with me. Psalms 56. You know, I still can't see that clock back there. Because of COVID, I lost my good glasses. I was going into Walmart here about 3 to 4 weeks ago. And yes, I had my mask on going through Walmart. All right. And so when I came, when I take them off, it seemed like they always catch on the back of my glasses. And I take it off and it flips my glasses off. I'm trying to put the groceries in the car. And I'm trying not to break the eggs. And I'm trying to breathe. I'm trying to take that mask off. I take it off. It flips my glasses off. I'm trying to get the eggs in there without breaking them. Now my glasses are somewhere and I don't even realize that they're gone. I get in the car and leave. And they're flipped off. They're not in the car anywhere. I suspect they're still on the parking lot there at Walmart. So I've got to go out and get some old glasses that I can't see very well out of right now. So here I am. And I can't see the clock. So if you hold a big calendar up, I'll know what time it is, okay? We're getting in the wrong day here. Psalms chapter number 56, please. And verse number 8. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Wow. So here it is. God says, your tears. He said, I'm saving them in a bottle. One day he's going to take Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. This is Southern, okay? And I kind of like Southern talk. You know what Paul said? Paul had to be a Southerner. Listen to this. He said, for I reckon. Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Wow. When I got saved, God put His glory in me. But I'll tell you what, this old body has a good way of hiding His glory many a times, doesn't it? And but hey, he said, listen, these things that are happening, he said, there's no comparison to the glory. One day God's going to take these tears. We're going to be trading these things in. You know what I like? You know what I like best of all? I like the crowns that we're going to get. Talking about trading things in, one day we're going to trade our crowns in, the crowns that we get. And what are we going to do in Revelation chapter 4? We're going to cast them what? At the feet of Jesus, aren't we? And then, remember over there in Revelation 19, at the end of the tribulation period, when I'm chasing a rabbit, okay? And anyway, Revelation chapter 19, when Jesus comes at the end of the trib, and He fights that last battle, and He's on that horse, and His sword's in His mouth, and He comes with many crowns on His head. Many crowns. Where do you think He got those crowns? They're our crowns. We cast them at His feet. Amen? And so these are the crowns that we were given for victorious living in Christ, that we had to use His strength, His power to overcome the enemy with, that we get the crown, we cast them at Jesus' feet, and that those victorious crowns, He's wearing them. He's got them all on His head as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He's coming to fight the enemy and ends up taking the beast and the false prophet and casting them into hell and so on. Amen? Ah, oh, yeah. Tears, crowns. And God, and here it is, he said, are they not all written in thy book? Listen, God's not willing to forget also any labor that we do. The Bible lets us know about this too. Well, we'll continue. Let me continue here. Luke chapter 10, I don't remember what verse it is, but Jesus said, rejoice, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Wow. God said, Lord, Jesus himself says, if you want to be happy about something, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So skip with me back here to the book of Revelation chapter number 20 then. Revelation the 20th chapter. In verse 15, we'll come back to this. But in verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Wow. There's the book of life. Not, there was the book of the living, but now we've got the book of life. And if you're not found written in the book of life at the end, God said you're cast into the lake of fire. Consider with me this book of life, please. Philippians chapter, hold it, we're coming to Revelation, back to Revelation, so hold your finger there if you could. Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 3. Paul said, and I treat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are written in the book of life. You know who associated themselves with the missionary? Saved people did. People that had their names written in the book of life. And not only they associate, but they help. He said, fellow helpers. You know, if your name's written in the book of life, you'd be glad to help a missionary. You'd be glad to help in the work of the Lord. I mean, we're all going home. We all got a mansion in heaven. We're all secured right there, and we are rejoicing. Jesus said, rejoice that your names are written there in heaven. Look with me in Revelation chapter 3, because a lot of people get confused on this one. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. You know what? You might be blotted out of the book of the living, but no one's ever blotted out of the book of life. It's life. How can you be blotted out of that life? It's life. It's eternal life. I will not. It's the assurance then that the Lord has given us. I will not, emphasis then, blot out his name out of the book of life. And so, oh, thank God for that. Not blotted out. Revelation chapter 13. I want you to notice the connection here. Revelation 13 and verse number 18. Verse 8, excuse me. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. That is it's talking about now the Antichrist. And all that dwell upon the earth during the tribulation period that's yet to come. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life. Written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. I bring this to your attention because all of a sudden now I'm learning something. This book of life of the Lamb. It's the Lamb's book of life. Wow. There's a connection then between the book of life and the Lamb from the Lamb's book of life. Well, back here in Revelation chapter number 20, a few more books than this. Here's the last great white throne judgment in verse number 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there is found no place for them. Jesus has brought back all the lost people. Death and hell, he said, gave up the dead which were in it. And they're brought before this judgment of him. And it said, there is found no place for them. And all of a sudden, try to hide from the face of God these lost people. They're going to stand before him and to be judged. And he said, there's no place. All vanished away. Just you and the throne and the Lord there. And then he said in verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead which were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. So God has books. And in these books are the works of every lost person that Jude said that the ungodly have ungodly committed. They're all written down. And first of all, they're standing there to be judged. You know what? They're going to be found worthy of death. They're going to be found worthy to be cast in the lake of fire. Part of those ungodly works will be that they have not received Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so then the conclusion of that was in verses 14 and 15, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Oh, the Lamb's book of life. Is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? Wow. Rejoice. Amen. Rejoice. And you can put those hands up and then say, praise the Lord. My name's written in heaven. My name's written in the Lamb's book of life. You know what that, in the Lamb's book of life, there's ownership then. The Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, I belong to him. I am his and he is mine, Song of Solomon said. I am his. That's the pinnacle of love. I am his and he is mine. And I belong to Jesus. Don't you love that song? Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Stand with us while we pray.